It's Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. The leak of a U.S. Supreme Court draft opinion striking down Roe v. Wade continues to reverberate. It sparked protests across the country and vows from voters and politicians that it would upend the midterm elections this fall. Here with a look at how the draft opinion might affect congressional races in New York and potentially all upcoming local elections is WNYC's senior politics reporter, Bridget Bergen. Welcome back.
Hey, David.
New Jersey Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill tweeted, quote, "This leaked decision is an attack on women's rights. November is a bright line, and we must be loud and clear that we will not stop our fight for women's rights." She followed that tweet with another that started with cursing, very unusual for her, and then said, quote, "It's time to fight." Bridget, what will this mean for the midterms?
Well, David, that's a little bit of a crystal ball question, but yeah. I can tell you that what we saw this past week was certainly candidates who are in competitive general election races really speak out. One of the races we're watching most closely here in New York is in New York's 11th congressional district, which is currently held by Republican Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis. There are two Democrats who are running in a primary, former Congressman Max Rose and Brittany Ramos de Barros. Both Rose and Ramos de Barros put out very strong statements this week, criticizing some of the comments that Malliotakis has made in the past. Most recently, when there was a vote in the House over a Women's Reproductive Health Act that she called, quote, barbaric. So both of these candidates are trying to, as you said, draw that bright line and show that there is a need for Democrats to be elected to protect women's health. And I would say that Ramos de Barros takes it a step further, saying that it's not just about electing Democrats, but it's about electing what she calls better Democrats who have the lived experience to understand this issue. She's an Afro-Latina candidate, a working class, an organizer, and really says that what this leaked memo is about is not just taking away women's health care access, but in particular for women of color and poorer women, because women who have means and wealth will get the health care they need regardless. And so she really framed this as a very personal fight. But she is not the only one. We have seen candidates across the country and certainly across New York State and New Jersey who have embraced this issue as a way to galvanize voters in a year where we have heard, you know, this sort of refrain that it's going to be a red wave year.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said in another tweet, quote, "We could protect Roe tomorrow, but Sinema refuses to act on the filibuster. Hold everyone contributing to this disaster accountable, GOP and Democrat obstructionists included. She should be primaried." She's referring to Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Is it too late for this to have a big impact on primaries outside New York?
You know, the primaries are on different dates across the country. And I think, you know, in a separate conversation, we could talk about when is the primary going to be here in New York, given some of the recent court decisions on redistricting. Currently, we have a primary for statewide offices scheduled for June and assembly races, and then a primary scheduled for August for congressional races and state Senate races. So no, it's not necessarily too late for this to have an impact on primaries. There are other races where this could also be a factor, but most, I think, acutely, we're going to see this become a factor in general election campaigns where there is a question about the position of the Republican candidate versus the Democratic candidate. And certainly we heard that coming from Governor Hochul, who will be facing a primary battle against public advocate Jamani Williams and Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi. But these are all candidates who support women's reproductive health access. And the contrast is really with leading Republican candidate Congressman Lee Zeldin, also from, you know, further out on Long Island, who, as of last week, was meeting with a group of pro-life supporters and went so far as to say that, you know, he would support having a health commissioner who was a pro-life health commissioner. So, you know, that's a very stark contrast with someone like Governor Hochul, who has been an outspoken supporter of making sure that New Yorkers have access to abortion rights here in the state.
Some have said that this decision is really going to have a galvanizing effect among voters. But will this energize people who aren't already energized by everything that has been going on?
You know, I think we have a really important summer ahead of us, and we're going to see organizers at work. I think for voters who have often been told that, you know, the reason to turn out is because of the Supreme Court and the potential decisions that could emerge, chief among them, a rollback of Roe, this is where the rubber meets the road. And we're seeing the looming threat that people have talked about, but some people, I think, didn't believe was real. And so now we're seeing states, you know, taking their own steps to codify some of the rights that we find under Roe. Certainly there is a push within Congress to have some of those votes. But, you know, as we've already talked about, they are coming up against the roadblocks of, you know, within the Democratic Party itself. And so I think there's certainly a hope among folks who want to see the rights of Roe preserved that this will energize voters. And we have between now and November to see what really materializes.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's turn to a statewide election that suddenly has a lot of uncertainty around it. The race for New York's lieutenant governor. This week, Governor Hochul moved to fill the vacant position with Representative Antonio Delgado. Can you bring us up to speed with what's happening here?
Sure. So, you know, keep in mind, this is a vacancy that occurred because her current lieutenant governor, Brian Benjamin, former state senator, had to resign rather suddenly because of corruption charges. The legislature had to pass some legislation early this week to allow for Benjamin to be removed from the ballot, which passed narrowly, but that opened the door to allow her to select a new lieutenant governor and running mate. Keep in mind, in the primary, the lieutenant governor and gubernatorial candidates, while they run as a ticket, voters have to vote on them individually. So now there is this real race between Delgado and Anna Maria Chila, who is running as the running mate to current public advocate Jamani Williams, and Diana Reyna, who is the running mate for Congressman Tom Suozzi. And so we're going to see if Delgado can help bring a broader statewide appeal to Governor Hochul's campaign and how that race shapes up between now and what could be a June 28th primary, or we will see if anything changes, potentially an August primary.
And we'll hear more in the weeks ahead about what the Delgado pick will mean for the congressional race in his district, the 19th congressional district. WNYC's senior politics reporter, Bridget Bergen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.